want to begin the new year today with I don't know how long it'll go, a couple weeks at least, maybe three, speaking to you about answers for life's problems. How many of you are finding out that life comes at you very fast? You know, I had the opportunity this morning to speak to a very wonderful and dear saint of God, and I was not aware, but 6 months ago she lost her son, and her heart's tender. And I said to her, you know, life comes at us fast. Life, you know, let's get real about it. Bad things happen to good people. When it says it rains on the just and the unjust, there can be bad things. And so life comes at us fast. And so what I want to do is begin today and talk with you about answers for life problem, but I want to subtitle it The Force of Faith. Let me just share something with you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But what really is faith? You know, I have a lot of people tell me all the time, I'm standing in faith. Well, and I'll say to them, I said, okay, what has God said to you? Well, I haven't heard anything. I said, then it's impossible to stand in faith. Or I'll ask them this question, what scripture are you standing on? You know, if you're standing and believing, you got to have something to stand on. You know, if I would get up on this chair and take a step out, how many of you know I'm going to hit the floor? In fact, yesterday I was with a friend of mine, and I was in his big one-ton diesel Dodge pickup, and where he parked, it was kind of a ditch there, and when I stepped out of his truck, I needed to parachute before I hit the ground. I could not believe how far it was down. It surprised me. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you, if you're going to do what the scripture said, it said when you've done all else, stand therefore, you've got to have something you're standing on. And there is a force of faith that will be needed this year. I don't know if you're reading the news, but there are some tremendous things happening that has to do with civil unrest, which could push our nation into a place of innocent bloodshed. And we don't need that. And we need to be praying against it, okay? So I'm not going to mention just what I'm talking about because I haven't fully verified them yet, although I did see it in a news clip a while ago. But I'm just telling you, there are people that want to push us. You know, how many of you believe your name is a prophetic word over your life? I don't care, you know, maybe your parents prayed and named you, or maybe your parents just pulled a name out of nowhere, okay? The night that our daughter that's here, Christy Dawn, was born. Won't tell you how many years ago that was for her benefit. But the night that she was born in the same hospital, a little girl was born, and the mother named her the same name as Christy Dawn. And we don't know. We know we didn't get it from them because we had decided before she was born, but we wondered, did maybe she see that name down at the nursery or hear that name and choose that. And those things happen. You know, we had a couple here recently. Won't tell you what their name is, but their initials is Ian and Bree. And they were right up to the last moment before they came up with a name. Amen? And then they came up with a beautiful name, Juniper. Okay? And she is just, I mean, she is beautiful. And everything about her. But what I want you to catch today is the fact that we are called the United States of America, and there is a force that's trying to divide us. All right? And we've got to realize, so we need the force of faith. You know that it's only going to be faith. What faith comes how? By hearing. By hearing what? A God-breathed word. So when you say you're standing in faith, you need to know what God has said to you. Let me just tell you what God's going to clean up this year. He's going to clean up all of these people that's out here in charismania that believe that God has called them to be something that He's not called them to be. Let me just tell you, it's tough enough to fulfill becoming who God has called you to be, but when you are on a pursuit of seeking to be something He's not graced you to be, life becomes hard. He said during the conference here back in December, he said to us, I will no longer allow you to superimpose my imagery over your imagery. Can I bring that down into a biblical word? I'm not going to allow you to put new wine in an old wineskin. We're going to be held accountable. I'm trying to help some younger ministers around me right now. They're running everywhere that the door opens to minister, but basically what they're doing, they're putting new wine in old wineskins and blowing the wineskins up, and the wine is falling on the ground. God's not in on that. I got news for you. Too many people are ministering today because people need them. I had an older prophet, Roger Teal, asked me years ago. He said, you must discover unto whom you are called. If you don't know to whom you are called, you'll minister and you'll create around you a coexistence of where you... Too many people need people to need them. Am I making sense to you? It's time to grow up. It's time to become. I mean, you know, it's time for someone to come along. When we started this work years ago, in February, it'll be 12 years old that we started there. Dan, it don't seem like that long, does it? It just seemed like just about this time of year, we were in Caldwell, Idaho. It was 0 degrees. Snow was 4 foot deep. And God speaks to me to come back and start this work. I remember calling and talking with Dan and Vicky and talked with Thomas and Kathy about it and you know, just several things. But here we are 12 years later down the road, and what I want you to catch this morning is the fact that it's taken the force of faith to bring it to where it is today. It takes the force of faith. It takes what God said. I remember when I told Dan and Vicky what God had spoke to me about coming here and establishing. They you know, not that they're weak, but they were weary. And they just said, look, we've given it our best shot. We've been there for 8 or 9 years. That hadn't happened, and we can't promise you we're going to stay. Back, you know, Dan said, I'm ready to jump and pull, count to 10, holler Geronimo and pull the ripcord. Some of you are old enough to remember that, all right? And I understand that. We all become weary and well-doing. But I want to tell you what, when a fresh word of faith comes, it will cause you to rise up to where you have an answer for life's problems. Someone very dear to us, and you'll know more later, but at this point I'm going to have to say it this way. Someone very dear to us was informed by their spouse just before Christmas they want a divorce. And it's broken our heart. And we're praying. And we'll continue to pray. But I've got news for you. The answer is hearing from God. The answer is the force of faith that comes when you've heard from God and you've settled on it and you're going to do what God is saying no matter what. Let me just share something with you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You agree with that? Well, let me ask you this. If it's obedience is better than sacrifice, how many of you really have lived long enough in this thing you've come to understand that most obedience is a sacrifice? You know, I love it. You know, it's kind of like this. God says, go to the other side of the room, you know, and I go to take a step, and then that grace, the moment I pick up my foot, that grace comes in and begins to empower me. But as long as you're standing there trying to figure it out, let me tell you one of the things I hope to deal with today. We've got to get out of logic and mental assent. We're trying to, listen, the answers to this nation is not going to be found in trying to figure it out in Washington, D.C. The answers is what's going to come out of the throne room of God. The answers to DeSoto County. The answers to your financial distress. The answer to the things that's going on will be found when you hear and recognize the voice of God. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. I love what it says here. What For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Let me just tell you, your logic is not born of God. Your mental intellect is not born of God. It will work against you. But I'm telling you, that God-breathed word, when it comes into your spirit, it will produce things that will blow your mind. I know some of you get tired of hearing my experiences, but my experiences confirm the word of God and speak louder to me with it. But when we bought the building that we own up in Dyersburg for the church there, when we bought that building, we were set to close the deal in May, and for 2 years we told the people, save money, we got to have a big down payment. In fact, one of the bankers we went to, this is what he said to me: we can't make you a loan. We don't loan to churches like yours. I said, what kind of church is that? He said, charismatic churches. We don't loan to them. Well, we got the loan anyway, but we kept telling the people on this date, and 4 or 5 days before that Sunday that we were to take up this offering, God said, whatever comes in, planted his seed. There was no way earthly possible to buy that building without a down payment. And God's telling us to take in, when we took that offering, we were expecting thousands upon thousands of dollars to come in to have the down payment so we could get it financed. And God said, give it all away. And I met with the leaders. One of them looked me in the eye and he said, have you heard from God? And I said, I've heard from God. And he said, then we don't have any choice. And on Sunday, we gathered and we took up an offering. And I mean, besides the thousands of dollars of cash that came in, I'm talking about we were only 60, maybe 70 people at the most, and thousands of dollars came in. Antique guns, antique cars were given. I mean, everything under the sun was given to us. And God said, sow it. And so on Monday morning, we began to write checks. There in Dyersburg, just north of there, is a little town called Newbern, and the Assemblies of God was building a new family life center. We sowed money into them. Rick Godwin was building a new building, or maybe renovating his building. We sowed money. We sowed every bit of it. And can I tell you, the day that we end up closing with no down payment on that building, the man that we bought it from that did not go to church with us turned around and wrote us a check for more back than we gave away. Only God can do those things. Only God. But it was a God-breathed word that began to produce what God did there. Now, if that doesn't stir you, every house that we've ever bought, everything that we, up until the last one, every time, we've not had the down payment when we signed the contract to buy it, did we? And we've watched God come through. Let me just tell you, that's not an apostle's faith. That's not an apostle wife faith. That is a son and daughter of God's faith. The house we bought in Dyersburg, the realtor wanted to go and get some Coke and crackers to eat on the way to go see it. She had not had lunch. And Susan and her went in a little convenience store to pick up some things. And I was sitting in the car praying. And when Susan came back out, she came out before the realtor. And I said, we'll go look at it, but it don't matter. The Lord just said it's our house. Whew. We went there, and it was ideal. It was only $86,000. It sat on 5 acres of land. It had a big old barn. It had everything that we wanted. A fireman from Memphis had built the house. The house was well constructed. Everything. But we didn't have $250. We had a credit line on our checking account in case we went OD. Y'all understand? Overdraft. And so we put on there with a contingency if we could get financed. And the finance company called me at least 8 or 10 times and told me, said, Reverend Ash, don't get your hopes up too much. We don't think this is going to work. And I would always say back, it's going to work. And I remember, I can tell you exactly where I was the day they called. I was in Farmington, New Mexico with about 100 wild youth. And it was toward the end of the trip, and me and Susan were frazzled. We'd been to the Navajo camping out. And this finance officer called me and said, "Reverend Nash, you're not going to believe it." And I said, "Oh, yes, I do." Because I heard God say, we bought that house for $86,000. We did add on to it. I want you to understand that. But when we moved here, we sold it for $186,000. Not only did God give us the house of our dreams, not only were we able to add a pool and a hot tub and a deck and a shop and everything that we wanted there, I'm telling you, we were able to sell it and move here with some equity so that we could buy another house, which we sold, as you know, last year, and used it to buy really the house of our dreams. Well, let's just be truthful. I bought the shop of my dreams and my wife got a house, all right? Just being totally honest with you. Force of faith. Overcome the world. It's not going to happen like you think it should happen all the time. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be hardship. But let me just tell you, all that will do is fortify your faith. It will fortify your relationship with Him. It will cause you, listen to this, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. I'm going to be dealing this year a lot with faith and grace. You better get ready. Let me just tell you, I'm not going to rebuke you. I'm not going to be upset with you. I'm probably going to correct you if you come and say, "Well, so-and-so's into sin, let's give them grace." I am coming to the hardcore opinion that we as individuals cannot give grace to people. Only God can give grace. When God's grace touched me 30-some years ago, the sinner, alcoholic, whoremonger that I was, I'm telling you, that grace empowered me for my wife to get her second husband. Same man, but a different husband. And we've got to get off this thing of just giving them grace. We can give them mercy. We can extend to them. But God's grace empowered me to become a different man. God's grace empowered you to become a different man or woman. Listen to this. For who he is who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Is he the Son of God? And let me just give you another announcement. The last Sunday of this month on the 31st, and I apologize, I've got to get the name down where I can pronounce it right, but we're going to have in the pulpit here a couple, and she is a fourth generation Christian that was raised in Pakistan. Her grandparents were preachers there, and she's going to come and expound to us so that we can understand Islam. And we can understand the Muslims, and we can understand the danger that is coming with us. And she, let me just tell you, she is as renowned as anybody. I don't work unless I have a relationship with people. And when we met her and had a four-hour meal and interaction with her, I know she's the one to come and help us understand. Anybody here ever read the Quran? Just little interest. I've read the Quran. You've read several of you. Anybody ever notice when you read it, those of you who read it or noticed in the Muslim faith how hard they are on women? Anybody ever notice in the Quran there's a whole section, a whole chapter dedicated to Mary, the mother of Jesus? Basically, she's the only woman mentioned in the whole thing to any extent. Anybody wonder why that is? I did. Anybody want to know? I'm just wetting your whistle. Because Muhammad's first wife, who was older than him, had been raised Catholic. And her uncle was a priest, and he helped him write the Quran. And he snuck that. I don't know if he snuck it, but that. And see, you have to understand this. Anybody know what is the Sunnis and the Shiites? Anybody? You know how vicious they are to each other? Anybody want to know why? Because both of them are the sons of Muhammad from a different wife. And they both claim they're the real prophets. We need to understand this, because when you understand it, we're going to have the power to pray this thing down. We are an equipping house here. And we're going to bring this lady and her husband in. It's going to be a tremendous time, and you're going to get things. In Matthew 16, go with me, verse 6 and 8. Well, I want to back up. I want to go to Ephesians 6 and 16 first. I love this. It says, above all. What does that mean? Forget everything else. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He's out to destroy you. But that's not just the bad news. The good news is it's finished. I used to say it. I used to be as coy as the other preacher. You know, I've read the back of the book and we win. Let me just tell you, I don't say that anymore. I talked with him this morning and we win. It ain't about reading a book. It's about having a relationship. It's about hearing what he's saying. Are you winning? Has it been hard? More tears than you ever thought you could cry. But you're rising above it. Let me tell you, when things come, like come in our life in the last year, like come in the Rush's life, like come in some of your life, it gives you opportunity to forge that relationship. Listen to me. You will never resolve an issue in your life at the same level of relationship with God that you were at when you created that issue. And just let me just throw this in for a nugget. Mark and Brooke, love y'all. Feel like I know you, man, because I've been keeping up with you on Facebook, This is a nugget. The Nash is back there on the back row. This will work for y'all too. You'll never resolve an issue in your marriage at the same level of relationship you were at when you created it. You either go to a stronger level of relationship, or you let the enemy get in and begin to deteriorate it. Are you hearing me? It's all about relationship. It's all about it. Begin. Can I share it with you? Please hear me in grace when I'm going to say we believe in cleansing. We are highly favored and blessed by having Jeanette Connells be part of our ministry here to help people get cleansed. But can I tell you how Susan and I got cleansed? Relationship. We just kept getting closer to him. I tell everybody, we just kissed the cross until we got delivered, and then we plucked the splinters out of our lips. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go through cleansing, but I'm telling you, we didn't have anybody to take us through cleansing or deliverance back then. We just knew that there were things in us. I knew that, and we just hung on, pressed in, kissed that cross until we got set free. But see, we want to treat the cross like this, you know, it's a one time. Listen, we need to all go back to the cross occasionally. Are you hearing me? Mark 16, verse 6 and 8. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Listen, faith is not the product of reason. I want that to settle in. Logic is not a part of faith. Are you hearing me? It is not. Faith comes from God. You know, I love how Brother Hagin Jr., Senior taught it. Have the God kind of faith. The only way to get the God kind of faith is to hang around God and listen to what he's saying. Anybody here been through something you just wanted to die in the middle of it? I preached one time in a church and it was so hard. I was in Murrouge, Louisiana, right outside of it. And I called Susan when the service was over. I said, pray the Lord comes back this afternoon. I don't have to preach there tonight. I still believe it's the hardest service I ever had anywhere on earth. And I was booked for a week. And it was like, please, Jesus, come back. Amen? Deliver me from this situation. I finished the week, didn't I, Susan? Don't know that I helped the church any. Probably helped me. God probably sent me there to do more work in me than he did to help the church, to be honest. And they reasoned, verse 7, among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Listen, through logic, the world says seeing is believing. But through faith, God says believing is seeing. What is it that you believe today that you've not yet seen? You know, I'm having some real painful, difficult with my left foot. I'm like the little boy. You heard about the story of the little boy was sick, and his mom called the pastor, and the pastor came there and anointed him with oil and prayed for him. And he told him, he said, now, Billy, just wait for the manifestation of your healing. Later that day, his mom was keeping him in the bed and taking his temperature every little while, you know, really taking care of him. You know, he was starting to get a little restless and everything, and he called his mom in the room, and he said, Mom, when did the pastor say that man from the station is going to get here? I'm still waiting on the man from the station about my foot. I have better days. I have worse days. But I want to tell you, I'm standing and believing. I'm listening to God. You know, sometimes the word of faith comes, go see a doctor. But I know people say that's a lack of faith. No, being obedient to God is never a lack of faith. There is a force of faith that will be needed this year in your life and in this nation. It will be far exceedingly above what you've had to exercise in the past. You're going to have to go to that place. Listen to this. In Proverbs 3 and 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Years ago, I had someone come to me, said, pray, I've got an opportunity for a job that pays more money. I questioned him. I said, for the amount of responsibility you're going to take on, does it pay enough? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. 3 weeks into this job, this person was crumbling. The responsibility was far greater. And they were able, thank God, because they had favor, to relinquish that position and go back to their former position. And it was just God's favor that did it. Listen, trust the Lord, but lean not. Just because something looks better, some of you come and get counsel from me about changing jobs from time to time. There's no job that you go from here that you go to the next job that you know everything about the next job you're going to go to. Where you're at, you know your supervisor. You know your amount of pay. You know whether they've kept their promises to give you raises and days off like they promised. But at the next one, let me just tell you, I'm not saying corporate America is bad, but humanity is frail, and they will promise you things that they do not come through on. Let me just quote out of the book of Clayverbs. Okay? A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. If I'm going to change jobs or occupation, I want to know that there. I want to know some definite facts, and I want to know it's going to be beneficial enough to do that. We had a couple that moved from here somewhere else because he got a $60,000 a year raise. They're now divorced today. Everything that looks green is not dollar bills. Everything that looks like a promotion is not a kingdom situation. Are you hearing me? I want to go back and say it one more time. Through logic, the world says seeing is believing. But through faith, God says believing is seeing. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemed right to man, but its end is the way of death. When that couple moved away, I talked with them. I pleaded with them. I said, I know. I mean, it's hard to tell someone not to go for a $60,000 a year increase in pay. Never told them that. I just asked them. I said, do you know that you know that God is telling you? I said, before you take this job, go see if you can find a good local church that you can be a part of, that you'll have that support family that you've had here. I went through everything. They didn't listen. And they got away, and they got away from true authority. Never found a church. Got away from true authority, and the man ended up in sin, and they ended up divorced and heartbroken and everything with that. Good people, great people, made wrong mistakes, made wrong decisions and made mistakes. See, the only way that is right before God is the faith way. I had an unction several months ago. Susan, I'll tell you this. I had the strongest unction. This was probably 5 or 6 months ago, at least now, about getting rid of my Volkswagen diesel car. Love it. I love 45 miles a gallon. But I had the strongest unction. So much that I called a friend of mine and had him run the numbers on. Called two friends. Called Brandon and another friend of mine in Texas. Run the numbers on this car. They ran the numbers on it. Then Volkswagen came out that they had falsified, you know, all that stuff and everything. That car today, 6 months later, is worth $7,000 less money than it was. See, I know now it was God trying to get me out of a situation. And can I tell you why I didn't? I reasoned it out. I leaned to my own understanding. Can I tell you, months that I travel a lot across this territory, that car makes its own payment in fuel savings, even at $1.80 a gallon, $0.89 a gallon of diesel. I mean, I'm just telling you, it does. But I lean to logic and to reasoning, and it costs me. But I'm from Arkansas. Anybody here from Arkansas? Yeah. We got a saying in Arkansas. Mark, I don't know if you know this, where the part you're from. We got a saying, we're going to drive it till the wheels fall off of it and then raise chickens in it. Amen? Well, that's what I'm going to do with that Volkswagen. Unless the price goes up or Volkswagen gives me some kind of big settlement on it or something. I'm just going to run it and get 45, 46 miles a gallon, keep it up in good shape and drive it till the wheels fall off of it. And then we're going to raise us some Rhode Island Reds in it, all right? I'm joking. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace and faith work together. Do you know that you heard God's voice when you were lost? You recognize the conviction of God is how you got saved. Through faith? It's the only way that it comes. The force of faith is needed. In Romans 12 and 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than they ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. The force of faith. Let me tell you what faith does. Faith doesn't allow you to become a victim. Faith doesn't allow you to become shipwrecked. I don't know how well I'm preaching, but I'm telling you what's on the inside of me is strong. I don't want to see some of you fall by the wayside. I don't want to see some of you go through some of the hardship that the enemy wants to send you through. I want to see you come through this thing and pass the tests that come your way. God never sends a test to prove that we'll fail. He allows those tests to come to prove that we're greater than we thought we were, but many today are throwing in the towel. I am surprised at the people that are saying they're quitting on God. They're quitting trusting. Are you hearing me? Mark 11. This is Brother Hagin's favorite scripture, 13 and 14. It said, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps it would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Now, do you catch that? It was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no man eat from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. You know, it's one thing to look and judge something during the season, but he looked and saw. See, you have to understand, because Jesus operated in the force of faith, he not only saw that it didn't have fruit then, it wasn't going to have fruit later. And we've got to look at situations. We got too many ministers trying to patch up and put band-aids on gunshot wounds so they have a following. Most ministries are built to where they create a codependence upon them. I'm telling you, it's going to be dealt with this year. If you have a Catholicism background, I don't bash other denominations, but we talk about how, you know, they think the Pope is the final word or the priest is the final word, and they make their confession and we do all that, and all we want to do is run to our favorite Benny Hinn service and get anointed with oil. And I'm not knocking Benny. I know people's been healed in his services. What I'm trying to tell you is we complain about what others do, but we do it in our own deceptive way. One of the reasons I've moved somewhat from giving altar calls, quite a bit, at end of every service, because some things, that, like this preaching day, you need to go home and pray it through. Laying hands on you, I can lay hands on you until you're bald. If you don't recognize what God is saying, it's not going to bring a change to you. Are you hearing me? Mark 11, 20 and 24. Now in the morning they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, he said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed had withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Let me just share something with you. I'm smiling. I'm trying to be as pastoral as I know how. I want to be as tender. But some of you are going to realize this year that it wasn't faith that's been producing in your life. It's been the logic of understanding, and that brook's going to dry up. Amen? The ravens are no longer going to feed you. We are in an hour with God that is the best time there's ever been. But we're an hour, we've got to trust Him like we've never trusted Him. Don't you believe that job is so secure? You know, we had a man just a few weeks ago that attended about two Sundays. Got a word here when Dutch was here. And all of a sudden, they shut his job down, laid everybody off. He's gone back to Salt Lake City where he was from, where his family was. He'd come here because of the job. I'm just telling you, the only thing that's sure in our life is God wants to speak to you, He wants faith to come to you, and He wants you to learn how to allow the force of that faith, which comes by recognizing His voice, to cause you to be more than a conqueror in all things. Whether it's the loss of a son, a son-in-law, a mother, a father, whoever it might, you know, a friend. When God speaks, there's something that comes. Now let's talk for just a minute what the God kind of faith. I've hit on it, but it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and that is rhema. It's a God-breathed word. Why do you think we read the Logos or the written word? So God can breathe on it. What are you meditating on? I do all of my devotion time in the Message Bible. You know, I hadn't said this in a long time, but if the Message Bible really had scriptures beside it to where you could, I would want to preach out of it all the time. But I do my devotions because it speaks to me. It's in contemporary today's language, and it's strong in my devotion time. Every day, today is the third. I read the third chapter of Proverbs in the Message today. Tomorrow I'll read the fourth chapter. I've been doing this 20-some years. Every day of the month, I read a Proverbs. On the months that only 30, I read an extra one. Amen? And I'm telling you, I'm amazed at things I say now that's right out of the book of Proverbs. Not because I've memorized, but because I've become one with them. Right. See, the God kind of faith is faith that comes from hearing God speak. Now, let me give you some attributes of the God kind of faith. Number one, it's creative. want you to think on that. When God speaks, it doesn't speak according to logic. It makes absolutely... Jeff, you got a little bit of history in the banking business and finances. Does it make any sense logically when you're a ragtag group of people trying to get your first loan to buy a building for $175,000 to save money and with it, and then give it all away right before you buy it? Logically, it makes no sense. Logically, to a banker, it can create great concern. You know, one of the things that the only thing we ever get questioned on at this church here, it seems like your giving is too much. We would feel a lot better if at the end of the year y'all would end up with a lot of money in the account. We don't operate that way. We are a nonprofit organization. We sow. Are you hearing me? And we with it, but that's the one thing they say to us because that's logical. Am I making sense to you? The God kind of faith is creative. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is a creative God. We are created in His image. We are His children, and we should be creative. I love to ask this. What nation in the world is having more creative ideas right now than any other nation? India. Right answer, India. Most people think Israel. It's not true. India, where they have 10 million gods, all of them false. Creative ideas, some of the best technology that are coming on the scene. There was a time when this nation led. Are you hearing me? And it's time we return to that. God is a creative God. In Colossians 1:16, it said, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created through God or through him and for him." Every creative idea you'll come up with is going to benefit God. If it's a kingdom creative idea, it will benefit God. Alexander Fleming, I believe I've got the right name, came up with penicillin. He will tell you, if you read his writing, he will tell you, yes, I was medically trained. Yes, I had a gift even in that area. But he said, God helped me discover that. And it was on a fluke. And actually, it saved Winston Churchill's life, if you've ever read the story. The second attribute of the God kind of faith is, the God kind of faith is powerful. Think about that. It will accomplish things that cannot be accomplished in the natural strength. Let me just tell you, when he said, forgive 70 times 7, there's faith. When you read that and it explodes and become God breathed in you, let me just tell you, forgiving is not something we do, it's something we are. It's who we are. You know that God doesn't just love. He is love. If you touch any portion of God, you touch His love. You know, recently, I think I've shared with you, He took me to the woodshed about the upcoming election. He said, are you going to vote safe or are you going to vote your conviction? How many of you realize, I'll just help you, we look at the candidates, see who's ahead, and decide we'll throw our vote that way. Because that way we won't burn a vote. That's not the way God wants to vote. He wants you to get in your prayer closet, hear Him. I heard Him. Am I going to push it again today? I've made my public endorsement of who I heard God. I didn't hear God say He's going to win. I heard God say that's who He wanted me to endorse. And I'm going to stand on it if you and I have to agree to disagree. Can I just add a nugget? The person I'm talking about is Ted Cruz. You vote your conviction, but his head campaign officer called me Friday while I was in a deer stand. And I didn't answer. But I'm scheduled to talk. She's a lawyer, she's a head person, and she wants to talk with me, and I want to talk with them. I had an open vision right here in this church recently. And I saw Ted Cruz, and I saw an appeal to heaven flag behind him. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to try to understand what it means. Now, are we okay? Not. I want you to understand, if you are convicted to vote for Ben Carson, vote your conviction. If you're convicted to vote for any others, vote your conviction. If you're convicted to vote for Hillary, we're going to cast that out of you. Okay? I just have to be controversial. No, I started to say, if you're convicted to vote for her, we're going to evict you. But anyway, we'll just evict the devil. Joshua 6, trying to wind this up. Now, Jericho, verse 1, Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpet. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Joshua 6:20. "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Then the people went into the city, and every man straight before him, and they took the city." Let me share something with you. God is looking for us to come into that oneness. The power of what brought the walls of Jericho down was the oneness of them operating as one sound there. Do you know that historians and theologians tell us that the walls, I can only assume this is true, the walls were as thick as they were tall. Now we think about my fence around a house. You know, if it falls over, you can walk right over the top of it. But look at this. If something is as thick as it is tall and it falls this way, you still got a wall. Can I just tell you what I believe? Am I entitled to my opinion? John Hagee is. Other men of God are. My opinion is the angels of God at that final shout got on top and danced on it till it deteriorated into dust. Drove it straight in the ground. I wouldn't be surprised if one day they don't dig down and find those walls ground level or underground level. I don't know, but I'm telling you this, the walls went down flat. That's what the Word of God said, and they went in and took the city. I want you to hear something today. If you'll hear God and operate as one, as God wants to, there are some walls that are going to be pushed down flat. There is something that's going to take place. I'm telling you, not the Goliaths are going to be slain, but the walls are going to move out of your way this year, and you're going to go in and possess what God has for you. Everybody's coming up with a prophetic word for this year. Let me tell you what he told me. He said, the people that surrender fully to him this year are going to reap where they've not sown. I'm just telling you. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how it's going to come. It might be that Publishers Clearinghouse come to see me. And I ain't bought nothing from them and not going to. But I'm telling you, I'm going to reap where I've not sown this year. My Father, who art in heaven, has a harvest that he has designed for me to come into, and it's exceedingly abundantly above anything we can think or ask. And I want to start this new year off. I'm not trying to get you. Someone wrote me recently last year and told me, said, "You're just trying to get people to tithe." I'm telling you that I have a word from heaven. I'm going to come into a financial windfall one day, and every person that is a part of this house, I'm talking about not just the attenders, I'm talking about those that are relationally covenant, the tithing, helping support the vision here, I'm going to pay all their debts off. Every person in this house. I think you're a fool. Well, just think it. I believe I've heard from God. And I'd rather stand on something. How's that going to harm me to believe that God can do it? I didn't talk about me becoming wealthier, although I would be. I mean, wouldn't it be great? If I would come in to serious money. I used to think a million was serious. That ain't serious no more. I could spend $1 million tomorrow on this building. If I came into serious money, can I tell you one thing I'd do? I would buy my friend Dutch Sheets his own personal jet. He travels every weekend. Every weekend. And I would furnish the fuel for it. Because if I bought him one and then and I need to go somewhere, he might loan it to me. Nothing wrong with an agenda unless it's hidden. All right? Come on. Let's believe. Let me finish this up. The third thing I want you to understand, the God kind of faith is protective. When I was in, well, really now it's Bosnia, but when I was snuck over into Yugoslavia, that day they put me in the trunk of a car and they piled clothes in all around me, almost to the point I couldn't breathe. I don't really get claustrophobia, but I want to tell you, it worked on me just a little bit. Fear tried to set in with that. I remember sitting back there and saying, Lord, I know I've heard your voice. I was reminding God what he said to me. And we crossed over. I remember when we came to that Czech station right there, the Yugoslavian border. And they would, the crossing guards, and I couldn't understand their language. You know, they might have couldn't say, we know somebody's in the trunk, we're fixing to shoot in there. And, you know, I didn't know what, I couldn't understand the language. But I remember I had a peace. Because the God kind of faith, whatever God's telling you to do, you know, whatever he's saying about a situation, when God has spoken to you, the God kind of faith brings protection to you. Can you say amen? You know, can I share something with you? Some people are being hurt and things are happening because, you know, they're moving out beyond. I gave my wife my word several years ago. I was on the top of a 40-foot ladder, chained off to a tree. I was chained off to a tree. The chainsaw was chained off to a tree. And I was cutting the top out of a tree over our house, and the part I was cutting swung down, didn't it broke before it was cut completely through. I didn't notch it well enough and it hit the bottom of the ladder. And I didn't know what was going on, except I could look at my two son-in-laws that were standing on the ground and I saw something fixing to happen that I wasn't aware of in their eyes. I'm telling you, they looked like two deer in the headlights. And all of a sudden that tree, as it broke and went down this way, hit the bottom of the ladder, and the ladder went up about 6 or 8 feet in the air. And I didn't fall. I dropped the chainsaw. I had it chained off the tree. I didn't fall. I wasn't hurt. It did get my attention. My blood pressure probably went up. And when I came down off of that, I gave her my word. I won't be doing this stuff anymore. And we've got a tree right now that needs to be felled, and we're fixing to rent a 40-foot lift, a bucket lift, that we can do it. And I'm going to get my son, who's 33, to be up in it, or Michael McKinney. Listen, if you have a word to do something, you can do it. But if you don't have a word, don't be presumptuous with God. Right. Don't move out beyond that protection that the force of faith can bring to you. Let's look at faith for just a moment and finish this up. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4:13-18. 2 Corinthians 4:13-18. And since we have the same spirit of faith, everybody say spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. According to what is written, I have believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, what I want you to catch here is If you're going to operate in faith, you've got to hear the voice of God. I think I've expounded that pretty well. But let me share something that's missing in some of you here today. It's the spirit of faith. What is the spirit of faith? Well, you remember there was 12 guys in a boat. They started across on a rough sea. Jesus told them, he said, I'll catch up with you later. And they get out in the boat and they're out there and the waves get rough. And he comes walking to them the first time in a manner that they've never seen him. And what did they do? They got fearful. And 11 of the guys in the boat, you know, they just cowed down. But one, old Peter, you know, wouldn't he love for the Bible to be expanded and he write about it? And what's Peter known for? He's known for selling out Jesus. He's known for cussing. He's known for cutting a guy's ear off. These are all things that God recorded about him. In other words, what God wants us to know, he didn't want us cussing or cutting people's ears off, but what he wants us to know, I'm not expecting you to be perfect. I just want you to surrender. And old Peter said, Lord, if that be you. Let me just tell you what the spirit of faith always does. It always speaks. And when the spirit of faith is spoken, can I tell you what comes back? The word of faith. And he said, step out. He said, if that be you, bid me to come. And Jesus spoke back to him the word of faith, and Peter stepped out. Let me tell you who's going to come through this thing with flying colors this year. Those that have the spirit of faith. I don't care what the situation is. You know, I've said this. I try not to cause my daughter emotions that I don't, but the night before her husband, my best friend, a man that I love dearly, before he passed away, right here, Dutch Sheets speaking, ministers from all over the region, God told me that he wasn't going to be healed. I agonized. I can tell you, it was the hardest night last year I had. Finally, Susan came home early the next morning. I told her what God had said. I said, I don't know how to tell Dawn. I just don't know how to tell Dawn. I said, how am I going to tell Dawn? And that morning, when 6:30 in the morning, when she came out of the bedroom in our house, she saw us. It kind of alarmed her, her mom being home. The first word out of her mouth said, God spoke to me. He's not going to be healed. She didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. But can I tell you what happened? Faith came to us that day. We went. We released him. And even when they were going to move him from the hospital to hospice, we prayed, and before he was ever moved from the hospital, let me just tell you, that whole day that he was there in that hospital, he wasn't there. He was already in the throne room. He didn't experience any of that. Don't write me no ugly email because you don't believe that way. I'm just telling you, I know what I'm speaking about. Jesus took the sting of death. And we as believers, we don't have to. You know, I say this humorous, but I say it truthful. If I'm stupid when I get older, and if I'm foolish when I get older, and I try to live beyond my time, I told my son this again the other day. I said it to him and Brian. I said, I want y'all to put me in a wooden boat, set it on fire, and push me in the Mississippi River. I want to live every day that's appointed unto me. I want to live it out. I want to live it well, but I don't want to stay and become a burden beyond my time. Am I making sense to you? The force of faith. Where are you at on the spirit of faith? Let me tell you what the spirit of faith is about. It's about attitude, not gratitude. Gratitude is being thankful for what he's done. Attitude is being expectant and thankful for what he's going to do. Let me just tell you, some of you are going to get healings this year that you've been believing for years. I'm just telling you, I've heard from heaven. You got something, Dodie? Come on up here. You're going to get healing. Let me just tell you, I've got a word. I'm at faith. You look at me. I'm not going to look the same in 6 months. If I'm going to finish the race, I got to do my part. This weight's got to go. Let me just tell you where my Achilles heel is. I feel so good, I don't feel like I need to lose weight. I've got so much energy. I'm just being honest. I don't feel bad. I'm not low of energy. You know, if I didn't have this little bit of hurting in my foot, I would, you know, with. But like, can I tell you what? That's working against me. That's still not the truth, and I'm working on it. Yes, ma'am.
Find it very interesting how God goes ahead and prepares. Yeah. All this week, He's been dealing a scripture with me. He spoke to me the very first time, May 13th, 1976, about my daughter. That's been 40 years ago. And this word is for a lot of people who've heard the word of God. They not just heard the word of God, they have heard God. You know you have heard His word. And you've been believing and you've been standing and you've been praying. But it says in Luke, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And you know what? It's been 40 years. But I remind the Lord, that's what He spoke to me. I heard Him clearly. He's confirmed it in His word. And that's for the rest of you. This is a year that God is going to fulfill the things that He has spoken. And blessed are you as you stay in faith. In faith. You know, sometimes it seems like 40 years and sometimes it seems like yesterday. But I am getting the calf fat.
Come on.
You know, I'm feeding that calf because I'm going to have a party.
Come on.
You know, I'm going to have a party. And I think a lot of you got to start feeding that calf. You know? Every day, give him a little bit more food, because he's going to be one fat sucker when it comes to pass.
One of the things that God spoke on New Year's Eve here, and we sang Amazing Grace, for all of the prodigals and all of the pre-believers that's going to come to the Lord this year. I'm telling you, there's a harvest. Let me just tell you, If you follow me a little bit, you know that I've been doing as much hunting as I can. But my hunting is not just about hunting. My hunting is about, it's a solitude place in His creation that I can hear from Him. And I'm just telling you, you need to know that the prodigals are coming home. And people that you've given up. I remember when we didn't give up on my dad, but we almost gave up. And my dad's nose bled for 2 weeks. They put him in the hospital in Stuttgart, Arkansas, and doctors couldn't stop it. I mean, it was bad. They were having to give him pints of blood. It was so bad. And we drove. We were up in the Boot Hill of Missouri pioneering a church, and our kids were about this tall, and we drove all the way there and visiting. And when it came time to leave, Susan grabbed his hand on one side of the bed. Those three little kids, Dawn, Diane, and Dean, grabbed hands, and I grabbed his hand on the other side, and this is the prayer I prayed. In fact, Susan told me later, said, "You prayed a dirty, hairy prayer, one that would make your dad day." And I said, "God, I don't care if he dies tonight, as long as he accepts you before he steps out of this life. But I'm not willing to give my life to you as I have. Not one day be rejoined to the man that I love so dearly." I didn't pray for his healing. I didn't ask the Lord for his nose to stop bleeding. I didn't pray nothing down on him. I just said, "Lord, save him." I remember looking. I peeked out of one eye. My dad was looking up at me like, I won't say what I thought. But anyway, what kind of prayer is this? Because that's just who my dad was. We loaded up in the car to drive in the night back up to the Boot Hill of Missouri. And it was about 2 days later, the next morning we got a call, and they were checking dead out of the hospital because his nose stopped bleeding. About 2 days after that, he called Susan, didn't even call me at first, and told her. He said, took me 63 years of life to find out I didn't have to drink whiskey and chase women to be happy. And what we found out later from Dad was, is when we left there, he picked up the Arkansas Democrat. And guess who had a syndicated column in it? Billy Graham. And somebody had wrote Billy Graham and said, how can I be saved? My dad read that article. And he asked Jesus into his heart, and he got saved. There's no doubt, was it, Susan? You know, not one day of my life did I ever doubt my dad's love for me. But he never told me he loved me. And which is not a bad thing. I've had people tell me they love me when they were trying to use me. But after he was born again, he told us all the time how much he loved us and how much he loved our kids. I want to encourage you. The prodigals are coming home. The pre-believers are going to be saved. I'm holding you too long. Let me finish this up. I want you to give me 10 minutes. I'm going to get you out here at 12:30. I want two people here. Deborah, I want you over here. Just come and stand right over here. Buck, I want you to come and stand over here. Now faith, just go and stand over there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've used this over and over. Some of you have seen it. But I want to show you, if you're going to operate in the force of faith, you got to understand. Deborah, Buck's your son. He's been 3 years in Afghanistan. You desire for him to come home. Mama just wants to see her boy. And so she composes a letter, maybe an email today, but let's go with the letter. And she mails it to Buck over there in Afghanistan. He's in the military. He says, son, I love you very much. I pray protection over you every day. I know that you've been to your commanding officer on numerous occasions and asked for a leave to come back and just to have a few days at home. And I know you've been turned down, but said, will you once again go and request to be given a leave of absence to return? If you'll do so, when you arrive home, I'll have your bed with your favorite pillow on it. That pot roast that you love so dearly, it'll be cooking. And that cherry pie with ice cream to go on top will be ready for you. And so Buck goes to his commanding officer. And he said, is there any way I can just get a leave? I haven't been home in 3 years. I'd just like to have a leave, even if it's just 7 days. Can I get back home and have some time just to encourage my mom? And he's granted it. And so he writes back to Deborah there here in the United States, and he said, Mom, your hope stirred my hope. I went to my commanding officer and I requested a leave of absence, and I've been granted one. I'm going to arrive 2 days before my birthday. And I'm going to expect that feather pillow to be on my bed and my favorite comforter, and I can almost taste that pot roast right now. Mom, you don't know how long it's been since I've had a cherry pie, and there ain't no ice cream over here in Afghanistan. Now see, when she wrote this and mailed it to him, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Listen to me. The letter to Buck represented her hope. The letter that he wrote back to her, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This letter that she's reading is the evidence of things not seen. It ain't her son. He hadn't gotten off the plane. He hadn't arrived in the United States. But can I tell you something? That pillow's going to be ready. That pot roast is going to be cooked. That cherry pie is going to be ready, and she's going to cook it. Let me just boil this down how this came to me. I have a Pyrex bowl, big yellow one, about this big, maybe about this big. And many times over the years, I'd call my mom and I'd say, I'm coming through. I'm gonna have time to stop in and see you. Can I tell you what? Every time I told her, she did. She filled it up with tuna fish salad. Now, I don't know about you. I know you think your mother made the best tuna fish salad. No, my mama did. Let me tell you why hers was so good. She put dill pickle juice in it. Ooh, and onions and black cracked pepper. Oh, we'll get off of that after lunch. You don't know the times that my schedule would change. I'd never get there. But can I tell you what? She had tuna fish to eat for a few days. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. The letter going to him was a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, his letter to her is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when God speaks to you, it's like Buck's letter. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to give you a better job. I'm going to pay this building off. I've heard that. Okay? I've heard that. Can I tell you what? We still owe $400,000 on this building. But I've heard him tell me he's going to pay it off. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Remember what I'm going to go back and say. See, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. If you're going to operate in the force of faith this year, you're going to have to recognize his voice, and you're going to have to see it before it comes to pass. I close with this. Y'all can be saved. Give them a hand clap. Walt Disney's widow is standing in Orlando at Disney World. And a reporter came up to her. And he said to her, it is really sad that Walt never saw this. And she rebuked him. She said, oh no. He saw it long before any of us saw it. I want to tell you, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, of the heavens not seen. You don't know how to get the answers for life problems this year? Begin to listen and see. Whatever God tells you, whatever he tells you, begin to see it. Can I tell you? I don't know how many's in this room. They don't count. I don't want to know. But let me tell you what I preached to today. I preached to 300. I was up here the other day. I ran by for just a few minutes. And I walked down and laid hands on every chair here. I said, Bob, you ain't here yet, but you're coming. I said, Rufus, you ain't here yet. Sally, you ain't here yet, but you're coming. I see you coming. And this is your home, and this is your family, and God's going to graft you in. Got blessings for you. He's going to bring you to that place. God's got some things for you that he's seeking to do. But see, you're going to have to see it. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to see your family healed. Some of your spouse, you need to see them become kingdom men or women. You need to call things that are not as though they are. Amen? It worked, didn't it, Susan? Where's your hope at today? Hope is not a strategy. Hope causes you to develop a strategy. You want to be debt-free living, you got to have a strategy. If you're believing for a job promotion, you need to be the best worker there. I don't care if they start paying at 7 o'clock, show up at 15 till. I'm trying to help you. If church is all about glowing in the dark and being spiritual and raising the dead, we're going to miss it. I want your life to be better this week. You know, we did what we did for Bruce Miller's son, Tekoa. Rite of passage. We did a rite of passage service here one time for a young man. He was about, 13 then? Grown up, being an incredible young man. But can I tell you something? His school teachers came. Other people came. and commended him. That don't go to this church. They came and commended this young man with it. I'm still waiting. I'm sorry it hadn't happened, Dan. But I'm still waiting on FedEx to call me and say, I just want you to know as Dan's pastor, you know, that he's the most wonderful worker. And I'm not insinuating he's not. But that's the way it should be. You ought to be the recognized one anywhere you work. You know, listen, God has put you where you work to bring favor there. Sometimes you're the one standing the gap between that business going bankrupt and not going bankrupt, but you're going to change your attitude. Come on, I'm preaching to you. Answers for life problem, force of faith. Let me tell you what the force of faith will do in closing. It gives you momentum. When you have momentum and with God, can I tell you what happened? It don't matter what's thrown at you, what comes your way, you just break right through. Amen? You just keep on. It might slow you down a little bit, but it doesn't stop you. What has God said to you? Ezekiel 12 and 28 says this, the words I've spoken over you, they'll be delayed no more. I'm telling you, this year you're going to see words that you've been carrying for some time come to pass. God's going to do these words. Stand to your feet.